We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's playoff time even here in Phoenix, and that means big stakes and bigger promotions. Every day of basketball playoffs, DraftKings will have $20,000 in total prizes up for grabs. Yeah, you heard that right. 20 G's, baby. The best part, it's free to get your shot at these daily cash prizes. DraftKings will be offering two free to play pools every day of the NBA playoffs, offering players a free shot at 20 G's in total prizes. DraftKings free to play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to the pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash and prizes. All you have to do is answer a handful of questions around what you think is going to happen during that day's basketball games and track your results throughout the day. Questions will range from which team will hit the most threes to which team will score first. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. It is the fans' best friend when it comes to daily fantasy sports. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code TBPN. That's promo code TBPN when you sign up to get your free shot at $20,000 in total prizes every day of the basketball playoffs. Head to DraftKings pools pages to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code TBPN for limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for full details.
Mission accomplished. The Phoenix Suns went to the Staples Center, Los Angeles, California, for Game 6 to take on the defending champion, Los Angeles Lakers. And they boat raced them, ladies and gentlemen. They boat raced them. Devin Armani, Big Dick fucking Booker, boat raced the Los Angeles Lakers. Suns win. Hashtag beat LA. Mission accomplished. We have defeated the Los Angeles Lakers. Welcome to the Suns Jam Session and the Solar Panel Podcast. I'm joined by Matthew Lispy.
Lispy. He's a lisp. He's so excited. He's got a lisp now.
I do have a lisp with his Invisalign.
the Invisalign Lispy. I'm joined by Greg Esposito. I am so excited to spend this time not only with our jamsters and our flaming ballers, but also with you two fine gentlemen. Suns win!
Hell yeah! Dude.
Oh my God.
I don't even know how to feel right now.
Look, we waited 11 years for this, right? Could it have been any better than what we got in that first round? There's an injury. You feel like, oh crap, all the demons are still here. And then they win three in a row on the back end and they kick them in the teeth in the final two games. There is not anything better than the way that they won this. It was, I won't say it was worth the wait, but it was damn close to worth the wait for 11 years. And Devin Armani Booker, Armani mode in full effect in LA. He's no longer be legendary. He is legendary. He took care of it in Kobe's house. Let's go, Phoenix.
Well, let me see if I can get louder than anybody else in here. Sorry. I live in an apartment, so I probably just woke everybody up. But, dude, honestly, oh, underdogs always, right? This whole series, I mean, nobody could pick this team, including me. I mean, until it was 2 minutes left, I was just like, dude, just pulled off. You have to be up by like 10 points at least. But I honestly, I was so nervous the whole time, right? This 20-point lead, the 15-point lead, it was just like, it seemed like a 2 or 3 point lead the whole game. That's the way it seemed to me, but absolutely amazing, man. I feel like I went to another level in life. Like I'm in, like another dimension, kind of like in an upper echelon in heaven right now. It feels good. Like I'm on cloud nine, man.
Yeah. That's probably the edibles, Matthew. I told you, you got to avoid edibles before I stopped the podcast. Okay. All right, cool. Well, we'll be drinking.
I would
some beers.
Seeing three of you.
Just aim for the one in the middle, right? LeBron.
Yeah.
Right, LeBron, your heavy yeah. shoulders, yeah, exactly, your broad in shoulders. I mean, it's just,
he took it in the one in the middle in the last three games of this series.
He did.
Oh, man. Plenty to talk about on this edition of the Suns GM session / solar panel podcast. If you are joining us live, whether it be on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, thank you. We truly appreciate it. It's been a hell of a ride during this series, and I'm excited because, you know, it's on to the next series, on to those Western Conference semifinals for your Phoenix Suns. If you are watching on YouTube, make sure you hit the thumbs up button and you subscribe. Hit the little bell notification that will let you know whenever we go live, which is after every Suns game, and the season continues. So this is absolutely fantastic. We are going to be joined real quick by Dave King. Dave, just say hi because I'm going through the housekeeping notes. Say hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Now go crazy. Now yell at us. Go be like, Suns!
Yeah, please yell.
I still don't have my voice from game 5. It's been very awkward at work. I'm like, hey, how are you doing?
Oh, you're going through the change, huh?
You sound like me then, normally.
Well, yeah. I just got my Manscaped products in the mail today, so.
Yeah.
Don't trim it. Don't get too close or you might go up another octave. So.
Yeah, hey! I trimmed something off I wasn't supposed to trim off. So.
On that note, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to remind everybody to subscribe to the pod at Suns Jam, at Suns Solar Panel. I'm at Darth Voida. He's at Matthew Lissy. He's at Dave King NBA, and he's at Espo. If you got a beer, please crack them with us, Suns fans. Matthew, are you going to be drinking with me tonight? Please tell me.
Yeah, yes. I got two beers, and I don't want to disappoint Espo and Dave King tonight, but I'm going to stone cold these two guys outside really quick. Oh, I already dropped one.
This one beer.
Don't forget the Invisalign.
So I'm going to put myself on mute, and I'm gonna do this outside, so just cut me off whenever it looks terrible.
Is that
right,
why you're
John?
Standing by a window?
Yeah, that's why.
Exactly. He in my tiny apartment.
Outside.
All nothing right. says this great is... for the audio version of the show, like going on mute and chugging two
and
beers. Let's go, Lizzie.
You'll see. You'll see. This is gonna be beautiful.
All right, we'll start stone cold in them. Okay, he's stone cold in beers. You can't hear it if you're listening. But if you are listening, this is a reminder to subscribe to the Bright Side of the Sun Podcast Network. Leave a five-star review. Yeah, I mean, there we go. Now it's no longer reflective. Now we are seeing Chandler Boulevard. There I think that's a cop-out. Oh, Invisalign's coming out, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
here we go. Matthew Paulus, he's going to stone cold Steve Austin. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Cheers, Suns.
Hey, what do you take one sip out of each can and then stop?
A rookie. He normally drinks vodka. So cheers, Suns fans. Let's talk about this series clenching win over the Los Angeles Lakers.
Let me hear it. Let me hear it. Let me hear it. Come on, let me hear you say.
And once again, the Suns did abide. Three straight victories to close out the Los Angeles Lakers after being down 2-1 in the series, headed to Los Angeles. They win game 3. They win game 4 in fantastic fashion. And they win game 5 also in fantastic fashion. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, as Dave puts on the solar panel hat, as we welcome Saul Bookman to the podcast.
Oh, man.
How are we all feeling, ladies and gentlemen? We feeling good? We feeling okay tonight?
I haven't felt this good in years, my friends. This is special. Don't tell the missus because I got married and had a kid in the last 11 years. But yeah, this is better than all that. This has been fantastic. All right. Our boys are back. Then that's all that matters.
Your boys are about to be gone if you keep going on like this. I promise you that.
Well, I don't know my boys. They're on visitation rights, all right? But the Suns are back. Let me make it clear.
Kota Kidd, man. He's calling you out, Dave. He said, we did it in eight. We did it
five
in eight.
Wins.
Five wins. Man, we could win 5-8.
Wait a minute. I said 5 wins in 7 games. I am not wrong.
You're not wrong.
You know,
not right,
they
should have
won game two, so they kind of did get 5 wins.
I want
Dave,
credit
so.
For that.
We'll give you your credit, Dave.
Did you guys see me change in the background?
No,
we didn't.
God.
Oh, no. Damn.
Yeah, sorry, Matthew. No one saw you change. We did see you
no
sip a couple beers. No, everyone was calling you a legend in the chat. I mean, they're just happy that you're actually drinking on the podcast.
Just that's what I wanted. Back at the chat. That's
more okay.
More stone old as he gets 2 sips in and all the beers down.
Stone old, stone please old. Stop in.
Oh, man.
13-point victory, although it never was really that close. Let's talk about Devin Armani Booker. You know, I normally save this for the back end of the podcast, but you know what? I'm starting right off the bat with the...
Jam star of the game.
Devin Armani Booker.
Really?
In the house that Kobe Bryant built. Went full, as Espo likes to say, Armani mode. Comes out absolutely crazy. 33 points in the first half. And just, you know, when the lights were at the brightest they've ever been in his career, on the road in a closeout game, one of the hardest things to do, he just went absolutely apeshit. How great was it to see him just hit everything? Everything. I mean, the most three-pointers in his career tonight. You know, the Suns, 10 threes in the first quarter. I mean, they came out and picked up right where they did in game five and ultimately snatched the soul from the Lakers. Now, the Lakers are a team that is a defending NBA champion. And I kept, you know, kind of reminiscing about Independence Day when you have the president played by, I forget who it is. Saul, you can probably
Bill
help
Pullman.
Me out on that. Bill Pullman. Thank you, Espo, who says he has a famous speech. He's like, we're going to live on. We're going to survive. Like, that's what the Lakers were trying to do in the third quarter. So in the first half, you had Devin Booker go crazy. In the second
it's
half, you had them fighting back.
Since
no, because they were trying to come back. They were doing everything. I mean, almost to the point of dirtiness. And then CP3 orchestrated a 10-0 run, and then that was ball
they
game.
Were just
he
missing
went,
a
he
Randy
went straight
Clay.
Up the back end, just like they did in Independence Day, and he took care of business. Right?
Exactly. As we say in my generation, up yours! LeBron James, 14-1 in the first round and 0-1 in his career against the Phoenix Suns in the playoffs.
You come at the kid, you best not miss. And Booker went right between the eyes in that first half.
Man.
And that was all they needed.
Career high in threes, by the way. You know, we've been talking about Booker topping out at 6 threes in a game. For his whole career, he's been in the league for 6 full years. He's had 6 threes in a game more than a dozen times. I got to go back and look, but it's crazy how many times he stops at 6. It doesn't matter how early he got to 6. He would just stop at 6 in all these games until tonight. He made his 7th in the second quarter. He made his 8th in the fourth quarter. And then he's at career high 8 threes, 8 out of 10. Has Booker ever shot 80% from 3? I don't know if that's – I didn't know
no.
he could do that.
Next year he'll be shooting 45 now, right? That's a lot of confidence going into next year. I mean, the season's not over, but I'm just saying.
Listen, go somewhere else with your rookie-ass playoff move. Let's go, man. Set
no,
up your the game. We still got the playoffs, Nuggets coming up, man.
I know, Nuggets. But I mean, it's just enough for next year, though. He looks back at this game. He's like,
towards next year.
Nuggets,
you know, this state is known for
the championship.
This state is known for next year. Like, I went to the University of next year. Arizona, it's always about next year.
That's
hey,
true.
Live in the now. Right now is what we're talking about. Devin Booker was a boss tonight. He was so unbelievable. I can't even say enough good things about Devin Booker. I wouldn't say hard on Devin Booker, but I would say I wasn't drinking all the juice like a lot of other people mm-hmm. were because I wanted to see him perform in the playoffs. And even though he had 34 in game one, I still wanted a little bit more. The last 2 games. He was the best player in the NBA, period. Not even close.
So can you pull a clip of when you guys were questioning Devin Booker and I had to defend his ass one Saturday morning? I want that whole clip to play over and over.
Play the whole clip. Play the whole. I want to see him do it in the playoffs, and he did it. And that's what he did.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with challenging.
I also was the one that said I wanted to play the Lakers in the very first round.
Yeah, I understand.
Because of this very example, the injuries, the lack of chemistry for the Lakers, the whole nine yards, it all came to fruition, especially in the last two games. Yeah. The Lakers fell apart. LeBron gave up. Curtains.
You're also the guy who said you'd pick two other guys over Devin Booker when it came to playoff guys. What was that? Jamal Murray and who else?
How many points has Jamal Murray scored this playoffs?
And what was the reason why?
Because you hadn't seen him do it in the playoffs.
Thank you. All right.
Just hard time, my friend.
Thank you.
How many points has Jamal scored?
How many points did he score last year?
Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Look, so Devin Booker scores 47 points tonight, okay? He ends this series averaging 29.6 points. Again, really showed up when this team needed him to. And as you know, we're talking about past squabbles. We should be appreciating what we saw tonight, what we've seen this series. We'll talk about Denver here in a bit. But I'm not scared of Denver like I was of the Los Angeles Lakers coming in. Now, granted, they were hampered in this series, and Anthony Davis surprisingly got the go tonight. What did you guys think of the doctor saying, well, he can't hurt it more than he ultimately can? And what do you think of the Suns making the adjustment, saying, okay, AD clearly looks hampered out here. He was playing at the top of the key, passing the ball every time it was given to him, and they decided to attack him on defense, and that's ultimately what led him to exit the game with about 5 minutes into the game. What do you guys think of AD playing?
Frank Vogel he was the best player on the Suns this series. He completely screwed the Lakers. He really did. I can't believe Montrezl Harrell and even EJ pointed it out that he didn't play more, because when he was in the game for those few minutes he was effective. He had a lot of energy, and he was like the only Laker with energy. But for whatever reason, Montrezl Harrell must have like killed his dog or something like that, because something bad happened for him not to be able to play. Frank Vogel was awful in this series. Got out coached.
Montrezl did have energy. I'm with you, Saul, on that. He did have energy out there, but the box score: 1 for 4, no defensive rebounds, minus 16. He wasn't as effective as he looked like he was.
Who gives a crap about Montrezl Harrell? That was not going to be the difference in this series. All right. And you know what? Props to Charles Barkley, who I think helped out the Suns in this series by calling Anthony Street Clothes Davis. I think that got under Anthony Davis's skin, and that's why he forced his way into going in this game. And those first Street 5 minutes when he was on the floor is what dictated how this game was going to play out. And the Suns played it smart. They went right at him when he was on defense, and Devin hit the knockout blow when he took it to the rim. He didn't make that shot, but he made it pretty clear that Anthony Davis wasn't going to be able to go the rest of the way. That's exactly what the Suns had to do. It was one of those turns where we saw the Suns kind of have that lack of a dip in energy when Chris Paul went down. Well, I think that was when the Lakers went, I don't think this is going to go our way. And that's when that run started for the Suns. And heck of a move by the Suns to attack him right away. I mean, it's not rocket science. Yeah. You go after the guy that's injured, but they did it and it worked. And it carried over throughout the game.
Yeah, you can definitely tell, like, he was even coming off the bench to start the game. He looked like he didn't want to be there. Like, he just mentally, he was just like, I'm going to try my best, but absolutely I'm not going to make it through the first quarter. So it was okay for him to start, but it's so weird because CP3 to play makes sense, right? He's a guy who's older, trying to go after his first championship. This is maybe the best shot he's had in a while with this team. And he's going to play. But Anthony Davis is like, they just won last year. And I know his injury is probably not going to linger till next year. But like, what are you going to do the next playoff round? Even if you beat the Suns, you're going to keep resting and getting hurt, falling on the ground, all that bullshit. No one wants to see that. So I'm glad, of course, he got hurt and was out the rest of the game, because it's just like, don't force it and hurt yourself even more. I still like Anthony Davis as a player. Of course, I hate the Lakers, But like, don't ruin his career by just forcing him to play a meaningless game. You're not going to win the series or even go to the championship with the injuries they have. So I think it was smart for him to, I don't know if he faked it or not, but you can tell he was actually really hurting and he couldn't go on any longer. So it was good that he actually left.
Go ahead, Dave.
Can I ask a favor? Can we start talking about the Phoenix Suns?
So the Phoenix Suns,
a lot like a Lakers podcast.
Well, no, that was just my first question.
My favorite part of this whole podcast so far is that Dave's like, "Hey, can we pull up that video of Saul dogging Devin Booker?" Like, we have some production.
My favorite part is me saying, "Let's talk about the Phoenix Suns." We're 17 minutes into a Suns podcast after they won the first round.
All right, so here you go, Dave. Here you go.
Pull up that video, intern. Gotcha.
Here you go. Okay. There's one thing that I mentioned yesterday on a piece on Bright Side of the Sun. So if you haven't been to Bright Side of the Sun, stop by Bright Side of the Sun and read Bright Side of the Sun.com. But so many people have been focusing on what the Lakers have done wrong this series. Let's talk about what the Suns have done right.
Everything.
The Suns, everything, defense, tenacity, teamwork, the ability to stop runs. I think that was the most important thing about this game was their ability to stop runs. Campaign in this game was not pleasurable to watch. He was 1-for-8 from the field, but he was 4-for-4 from the free throw line. And those free throws came in the third quarter when the Lakers were starting to push the pace, when LeBron was starting to try to drive to the basket and impose his will. Campaign did the same on the other end. Their ability as a team to come together and do all the little things right, if you do those little things right, the big things take care of themselves. Well, guess what? The big thing is 4-2 over the Lakers. We don't have to worry about a game 7. Shout out to So Says Jay, from Fanning the Flames. Justin bought tickets to go see somebody, I forget, on Saturday night at 7. And guess what? He knew it because the Suns weren't going to be playing at that time. The Suns did all those things that they needed to do.
I think it was Alanis Morissette, right?
Probably. Isn't that ironic, don't you think?
Cummings, all right? He's going to
go. Yeah, Whitney Cummings, that's right. Whitney Cummings, comedian. But again, the thing that the Suns did right in this series was everything that they did right all season long. They were a team in every aspect of the word. They played team defense. They played team offense. They, you know, executed when they needed to. And it's just the way that this series ended was poetic. Going to LA and just putting our foot on their throat, having Devin Booker do it. The guy, the empty stats guy. The guy who's an all-star twice because he, because of injuries. You know, he wasn't voted to all-star teams. You know, all these national pundits who, I think, who said it to John Bloom? John Bloom tweeted out something about Devin Booker, and Adam Schein's like, oh, yeah, I've been a fan the whole time. It's like, yeah, everybody all of a sudden's a fan of Devin Booker. And you know what? Good. Welcome to the Devin Booker bandwagon. Welcome to the Suns bandwagon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome aboard. Purple and orange, that's what we bleed here.
You know what? I will say this. I stumbled over my words before the series started because I said something about styles, right? And how the Suns like to slow it down, but they need to speed it up, right? It's roughly what I said because I kind of fumbled. But the style that the Suns needed to play was whatever style they thought was going to be most effective against this Lakers team. And we saw them get out and run and run and run. And guys like Cam Payne and guys like Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson that kept that flow going. You know, it really just wore the Lakers down. And I mean, the last two games, I mean, you look at the score. If the Suns were playing at home this time around in this game, it would have been a 40-point win just because the Lakers had no juice. And so, I mean, the Suns, Monty Williams did a great job adjusting and really figuring that out as the series went along. And once we got to game 5, really, it was basically over.
I give it to the Suns fans too, man.
Yeah.
The atmosphere in those home games gave that team something that I don't think they expected. And part of that was because they didn't have that many fans in the building until the playoffs started. But that's really Devin Booker's first experience with true Suns fandom, right? That's the first time he was introduced to how much this city loves this damn team. And I think that what they fed on in game 5 at home carried over into tonight. That they still felt that energy from that group. And I give Suns fans a huge amount of credit for stepping up and not only not letting Lakers fans get tickets in that building, but then showing out too when they got in there.
We're going to have to really get rid of all those Denver fans coming in.
Hey, there's a comment in here that I guess Charles Barkley said on TNT that this Suns team would not have beaten a healthy Laker team. But What frustrates the heck out of me? No, Matthew, you're nodding.
Yeah, who cares?
What frustrates the heck out of me is that we're not saying a healthy Suns team versus a healthy Lakers team.
Yep,
everyone's just accepting the Chris Paul injury, but then excusing the Anthony Davis injury.
Yeah,
that's BS. Chris Paul was a shadow of himself this entire time. Well, that's what we're going to hear, though, Espo. We're going to hear the national media saying that first round was fake.
Yeah, and we're gonna hear that LeBron had an ankle that was hanging on by one tendon and was like Grant Mills when he had to leave, when he had to sit out all those years, but he powered through it. I don't give a crap.
Do you think the Suns got what was important? Do you think he's in the post game right now with a boot on?
He probably had crutches walking in.
Yeah, there you go.
He'll probably have a shoulder thing on.
He probably has like six or seven orphans with him right now, you know, just hanging out. He's like, oh, I got to take care of these guys, all right?
Look at Saul's face. Saul's face is worth the price of admission.
That's called the Lissy. I don't even know where your head is at half these times.
But the thing is with the Suns in this game, dude, they were doubted no matter what. Like, even with the injuries they had, the Lakers had, they were still doubted. I mean, I was listening to the Ringer, the NBA podcast. They were like, 60% chance the Suns win this series. It's like, what? With the injuries that the Lakers have right now and how the Suns have looked, even with Chris Paul's injury, 60%. I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense, but no one really believed in this team anyways. So,
well, the Suns have continuity. And, you know, the Laker team is a team that couldn't develop continuity this season. They were less than what they were last year, given the sum of their parts. They dished off some people. They didn't have the opportunity to play together. And the Suns truly adjusted over the series. Because you think about it, you think back to the first four games of the series, and we were all, you know, praising the efforts of DeAndre Ayton. And the Lakers adjusted. They're like, okay, we're going to try to push DeAndre Ayton around a little bit. We're not going to let him get the easier rebounds. And the Suns adjusted accordingly. They're like, okay, we will be a guard-based team now. We've let the big man carry us a little bit. Now it's time for the guards to do it. And that's what they did these last three games or two games.
I mean, in the next series, it's going to be even funner, I think, because now you have DA against Jokic.
And he plays well against him.
He does play well against him. You know, you have Devin Booker, you have Aaron Gordon. I mean, you have a list of stars, despite the fact that Jamal Murray's not playing. Denver is still a very, very good team. And I know you said that the Lakers are a better team if they're healthy. I disagree. I think the Nuggets would have beaten the Lakers easily had the Lakers found a way to get past the Suns. So the Suns have their hands full. It's going to be freaking fun as hell to watch. But in this game, particularly going back to it, I love the composure that the Suns showed, especially in the fourth quarter. It looked a little dicey there for a second. I think Suns fans were like, "Oh, not this again." But again, CP3 found it. He found it. I don't know how he found it. He found some magic juice in that shoulder just to get like three more shots out of it, and he hit them all. Even the threes, just the fact that he could shoot those threes. I don't care that he missed. He showed the Lakers, like, I can shoot this. And it's the closer that we've needed.
Yeah.
Look, Chris Paul is like that blanket when you're a kid that is like that thing that just calms you down no matter what's going on, right?
Very true.
He came in the fourth, and while things started to feel like maybe this is getting a little closer than we want, three assists to guys to hit big shots, getting in the lane, hitting a midi himself, like that, he took care of it. Like, I'm a nervous rector in this stuff because – you know, I have flashbacks to just basketball trauma of the past, right? Every time anything like this starts to happen, I go, it's all going to fall apart because I'm psychotic. All right. Which is on display on this podcast a lot, but Chris Paul, when he came in, I went, when that happened with about 6 minutes, I'm like, they got this, you know, like, and that's not a feeling I usually have. So I thank you, Chris Paul, for being somebody that not only calms the team down, but calms some of the more neurotic fans down as well.
I also want to give big credit to Cam Johnson. So he's one of the young guys who had not had a great series up until now. Tonight, 10 points. He took a couple of hard hits on hard fouls driving to the rim, 2 of 3 from the field, made all his free throws, 4 rebounds, couple assists, couple steals. Man, that guy was everywhere in a role. You know, in a role-playing situation. Mikal Bridges was really good tonight, too. He just didn't make all his threes. He missed 5 out of 6. But man, those guys, it was really, really good to see those guys.
But Dave, don't you think Mikhail, you know, I don't know why, but Mikhail in the fourth quarter shooting a three, I don't get nervous about it. I'm like, I'd rather him shoot that. Mm-hmm. And he hit that 1-3 in the fourth quarter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you knew he was going to make that one before he even shot it. And it was just like, man, there's something about that kid that I'm just like, man, I feel really confident about Mikhail Bridges in the fourth quarter. Love that.
Hit that three, got a block, and that was a big turn.
He's not afraid of the moment at all. No. He's just like, you know what? I'm here. I'm a role player. This is what I do.
Boom. What about Jay Crowder? The guy was the whipping boy in the first part of this series. Everybody just complaining about him. He came through huge in this back half, especially in this game. Kept connecting from deep, and that was a huge reason that they kept the
six threes, two blocks, 8 rebounds, a steal. Yeah, that guy.
And
that
Jay Crowder ball was 2 technical fouls.
Yes, did he do the salsa dance? I think I missed that because I was setting up.
And, you know, EJ talked about the first 3 minutes of the second half being the most important. You got to come out and don't give him any life, right? But the way Jay Crowder came out and started the game, I felt like told the Suns, like, yeah, we're here to win this game. And everybody kind of fed off of that for the rest of that half, really. I thought he did a great job setting the tempo. Well,
and he was open because the game plan was, all right, we'll try to double team Book. We'll try to double team Chris Paul. And on the first few possessions, when they rotated around following those collapses, there was Jay standing wide open at the ball. And you know what? When he knocks those downs, like, you can feel it. As a Suns fan, you can feel it. When Jay hits his first couple shots, I know there's like Bridges Law out there on Twitter, but Jay's Law, it's a more of a confident feel. You know, going back to Mikhail Bridges, the way that he, you know, we used to not have confidence. He used to have that giddy up in his jump shot when he was a rookie, and the way that he's developed, and he personifies the hustle of this team. I mean, there was one play early in the game where there was 3 Lakers, and he had an offensive rebound and a putback that was just, you know, it just, the team feeds off the energy. You know, you look at the energy guys, it's low-key Mikhail Bridges and high-key, if you will, campaign. I mean, the way that they bring it night in and night out, the rest of the team, they dictate that pace and that energy. And when Mikhail had that block late in the game, I mean, just in its totality, between those guys, you know, and Espo always says it, you know, as the Suns will go as both Mikhail Bridges and Cam Johnson go. You look at tonight's performance by both of them. Bridges had the 10 points. Cameron Johnson had the 10 points. But you know what? They both were bodying up LeBron and trying to take his blows. You know, LeBron ended with 29 points on 26 shots and 3 for 10 from deep. You know, seeing Cam Johnson take on LeBron James, that's our that's our, what, 11th pick last year that everyone booed? You know, seeing Mikhail Bridges. I mean, you look at the core of this team, and I was talking about this with somebody today. I'm like, the core of this team outside of Chris Paul is all guys that we've pretty much drafted in some fantastic role players. And it makes you so excited as a Suns fan to see a team develop into a team that is the 2 seed who just dethroned the defending champs and sent LeBron home packing in the first round. So now he's surrounded by 17 orphans.
My favorite part.
I'm going to say something awful that nobody's going to like, but you know the guy who drafted 3 out of those 4 of those guys?
Yep.
Ryan
I was talking about last night.
Just saying.
The trial for Ryan McDonough continues.
Should we build him a statue? Or what,
my favorite part of the night is watching Lakers fans be silent. Shout out to my boy Justin Spears, who's depressed as all hell tonight.
That's all right. He's still half drunk off all the champagne he drank when they won in the bubble. So.
And I was surprised LeBron came back in with 5 minutes left. I thought he would have been in the locker room by then, but he came back in.
Hey, he's just saving it up for game 7. Right?
Oh, yeah. He'll be there, right? He'll be here in Phoenix.
Saving it for getting treatment for game 7. Hey, let's talk about Denver a little bit. The Suns are going to play Denver.
Real quick, before we go to Denver, I want to hit us with a little. Yeah.
Do it, baby. Do
hold
it.
Hold on. Hold on.
Do it. Come on now.
Watch 2021.
We can't like not do 8 and Watch, Dave. So this segment is brought to you by Just Sports. If you enter promo code SunsJam while checking out, you get 50% off your purchase. 15.
I'd go down there right now.
Once
they're
again,
giving it away.
Suns Jam.
Suns Jam clearly said 50%.
What do you mean? You know, again, DeAndre Ayton, not the greatest night statistically. 8 points, 2-for-2 from the line, but only 4 shots. He had 3 rebounds, 1 assist. I just want to give a shout out to DeAndre Ayton in this series. He was absolutely fantastic. The last 2 games, I think he averaged 8 points. He had 8 in both games, but doesn't matter. His impact is on the defensive end. We've been saying it all year long. And, you know, for the people who didn't respect him all year long, you're seeing he was cultivating his talent. He came through offensively when we needed him to. When the Lakers allowed him in those first couple of games, they're like, okay, we're not going to focus on him as much. We're going to throw these double teams. The Suns took advantage. Shout out to Ayton Watch 2021 and DeAndre Ayton and his performance in this series.
Can we just agree, though, that DeAndre Ayton knows when it's time to step on the stage? And man, they were up 30 in the first half 2 days ago and up 29 in the first half in this game. Ayton's like, okay, I can chill. You know, like he really said, there's only 3 other guys in the history of playoff basketball that had more points and rebounds in their first 4 playoff games than DeAndre Ayton, and they're all in the Hall of Fame. So DeAndre Ayton was great when the series was in the balance and necessary, and he coasted the last couple of games. I can't wait to see him against Nikola Jokic.
The only thing I would like to see is that the Suns give him a little bit more when stuff is rocking. Yeah. You know, I tweeted that out. I was like, feed DA when nobody's making shots and things are kind of going haywire. Feed DA, see what he can do down low, maybe get some more foul trouble, get to the free throw line a little bit earlier. Like, that's the one critique I would have about the Suns, and that they don't really do a lot when the boat is rocking.
Look, and you could see DeAndre Ayton's impact defensively when they pulled him and LeBron just started dominating down low, right, in the third quarter. And the second that Ayton came back in, That stopped.
Yeah.
That's his impact. He was great offensively early in the series, but he knew the bread and butter, like he knew all year, was defending that paint, and he did that spectacularly throughout this series.
Yeah.
By the way, go ahead, Lissy.
No, go ahead.
I was
you
just
did it by
say,
the way. So go ahead.
I was just going to say, has a.
Is it?
Go ahead. Has Dario been on a smoke break the entire series?
Oh, yes. No, this has been the
Sarich smoke break.
Yeah, Dario was on a smoke break the entire fucking series. He was hanging out by your local Circle K. If you go around back, he doesn't hang out up front. It's too bright up there. Those bright neon lights with the fluorescent. A lot of bugs are attracted to that, like little mosquitoes and such. So he's actually around the corner by the dumpster lighting refries. For those of you who don't know what a refry is, it's when you walk by an ashtray and you pick up used Marlboro lights and you smoke them there because you can't afford them.
I thought the neon lights reminded him of the bright lights of the playoffs, and he shrinks from them.
What kind of cigarettes does he smoke? Are they menthols or?
I don't know. John, no, you know what he wants, right?
No. He probably smokes like Chesterfields without a filter. Like, he's a no filter guy for sure.
No filter?
No filter.
They need to give him like a time machine to go back to the 30s and sponsored. Like, wasn't that when the cigarettes were like the best in the 30s or 40s?
No, it was like after World War One when they had the lucky strike.
Yeah,
that's when the Madman era.
That's when doctors recommended that you smoke.
Yes. So he should go on the time machine, man.
Don Draper did such a great job promoting those lucky strikes that like everybody's like, oh, it's like I like to have Cheerios with milk and a cigarette.
Yeah. There you go.
I think Dario's mustache acts as the filter, so it's all right.
So there you go. That is brought to you by Just Sports. Remember, Suns Jam at checkout, 15% off, yada, yada, yada. Before 15. We get to the Denver, 15. I should have said like 16. No, I should have said 12. I wanted 22 for DeAndre Ayton for Ayton Watch, but they said no. Real quick, before we get to Denver, I did want to bring up Lucky 13. This is the 13th time that we've played the Los Angeles Lakers, and we have won now. So we're 8-5 against them. So again, That number 13 keeps kind of coming up. Steve Nash was 13. Chris Paul is number 3. Devin Booker's number 1. 1-3, 13. So 13 might be, you know, we have what?
Sean Marion in a mirror was 31.
We have 12 victories to go. There you go. Yeah. Sean Marion backwards. But we have 12 victories to go. I wish we had 13, but we had that the other day. But there you go. Lucky 13. The Suns beat the Lakers by 13 tonight. Think
no
about
Tris Kadekaphobia here.
That seriously, no triskaidekaphobia, and that was definitely a stop me. Brought to you by John.
I give that to you.
So let's talk about Denver, okay? Now, definitely, don't get me wrong. We're going to celebrate the fact that the Suns beat the Lakers. But you know what? We haven't won the NBA Finals, ladies and gentlemen. We've got 12 more games to win before we win a championship. And it's time to look forward to the team that beat the Portland Trailblazers tonight, led by the guy who's most likely going to walk home with the hardware of MVP, Nikola Jokic. What are you guys thinking when you look at the Denver Nuggets and how they match up against the Suns, a team that beat the Suns 2 out of 3 times this season, although one was without Devin Booker and the other one was bullshit because there was a travel call that wasn't called on Jamal Murray that set the game to overtime.
And one was in double overtime. Yeah. So.
Yes. So look, what are we thinking?
I haven't had time to think about that. I've been too worried about the Lakers.
Study. Matthew, so Matthew, tell me about next season. Library.
Huh? Okay.
Tell me about next season, Matthew.
Oh, yeah. I'm not thinking about next season at all.
Oh, I thought you were.
No, I'm just telling you what Booker's going to say next year when they ask him, hey, how come you're shooting 45% now? He's like, oh, it started in the Lakers series, dude. That's what happened. That's what it was.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So Denver.
Now, you're just like my dad, Saul. So just always Saul.
always disappointed. Always disappointed.
Yeah. Always,
just always I can see that. Yeah.
I think Saul's actually old enough to be your father, too. So
I don't think so there, Espo. You look older than I do. What are you talking about?
And let it begin with me. Dave, Nuggets, go.
All right, Denver. Yes. So without Jamal Murray there, they are a little bit less powerful, less threatening, I think. And you've got Nikola Jokic, who DeAndre Ayton defends pretty well, which you mentioned a couple of times. And Michael Porter Jr. is their other scorer, and I just feel like Mikal Bridges and Torrey Craig can do pretty well on that guy. And then Jay Crowder, I think, could actually be, I don't know, maybe a little bit of a backup center for behind Ayton because of Jokic's girth. I don't know. What do you guys think as far as backup center when Ayton's not?
I think Dario can play, right? Am I wrong there?
That's tough, dude.
No.
Who's the backup five?
The Suns?
No, what? The fucking Nuggets.
Oh.
The Nuggets backup five? Them,
yeah.
It's that Jamichael Green.
Okay, so Dario can match up against Jamichael Green better than he could the front line of the Los Angeles Lakers, correct?
Do you go back to him, though?
Yeah,
do you go back to him?
Or absolutely.
Keep riding
it's a seven-game series.
It doesn't work. Like, again, just like when you started Frank and all of a sudden you went on this weird run, they bring in Frank and they win 4 of 5, I believe it was, playing Frank in this.
But they still went back to Dario.
3 of 4. Like, I don't know. I don't understand. Give Torrey Craig more minutes if you're gonna try to give somebody more minutes. I don't understand the fascination with Dario Saric. He hasn't had it. He hasn't had it really since the bubble. There were a few brief streaks.
He hasn't had it since he first came back in the season, at the beginning of the season. That was it.
So, like, I'm just
– that one game.
Yeah. I don't understand the fast.
Dario had a better season. Don't get me wrong. He had a very long stretch of shittiness.
I know it's
very well documented by myself on Brightside. But he was at a point playing to a level where I thought he could be eligible for the sixth man of the year. And then he fell off a cliff.
Yeah. I mean, deep off a cliff. I will say in this series, I'm kind of, I wouldn't say terrified, but I'm scared of MPJ. He scored 22 points in the first quarter. We haven't seen them with MPJ playing the way that he's playing right now. We just haven't. So that's, I know Mikhail's a good defensive player and Cam Johnson's a good defensive player, but man, he's the one that scares me a little, honestly, more than Jamal Murray, just because of his length and his size.
But he's
the matchup problem.
We have wing defenders. The Trailblazers were the second worst team on defense this year. So we really can't look at anything the Trailblazers did and use it as a blueprint.
Yeah.
We really can't. No. You know, I mean, the Nuggets are a good offensive team. They're a decent defensive team, but we have wing depth. And again, I think Dario is playable in the series. I absolutely do. I think you give him a chance because you're going to need somebody, the great connector, as Monty Williams likes to say.
Yeah.
What's going to beat this team is the ability to move the ball, right, Matthew?
Yeah, Monty's going to play him. He loves Dario, and he's going to get some minutes, of course, but he probably won't be as effective. Denver Nuggets, like the Lakers, when we played the Lakers this series, at the beginning of the series, like, yeah, I hope one of them are injured. I don't really care. I'm not as scared of the Denver Nuggets as the Lakers. I'm really not. I know Jokic is the MVP, but to me, they seem more beatable. And even with Jamal Murray, even if he was there, I just think that's a guy that, you know, can get hot and streaky, of course, in the bubble playoffs like last year. But he's not a guy that, you know, you're not going to choose him over Booker, right? You're not going to. So they kind of cancel each other out. Jokic and Ayton, the way Ayton plays against Jokic, they cancel each other out. So then you're going death. You're going bench, 3-point shooting. I know they have, what's his name that just filled in for Murray? That's really hitting some nice shots for them. I forgot his name.
The guy from the
which
Euro
one? Lane. Will Barton or
I forgot. I'm sorry. I haven't really looked at them yet. Right. You know, I only watched one playoff game.
Monty Morris has been playing really well.
Monty Morris. Yeah, that's who it is. And I mean, the Suns' depth, just like tonight, man, they had the 3-point game they needed to beat the Lakers. They 51%. So I'm going with the Suns' depth on this because everything else really cancels each other out.
Look, I agree. I think it's going to come down to depth, but I think Torrey Craig is going to play a big part in this series. He knows that team, having been part of that team. He knows their system. He's got beef. Like, I think he could be a key cog. Now, he's not going to be the guy that drops 20, a night or anything, but I think he's going to do little things that have a major impact on this series. And then Devin Booker will punk Austin Rivers at some point in this series, and I am there for that.
Austin Rivers, I can't believe Austin Rivers was a difference maker in that Portland series.
That's how bad Portland is, though.
That's how bad Portland's defense is, I guess.
What do you think, Saul?
I just think this game, I think this series is going to go seven. That's my initial gut reaction. I feel like Denver, I feel like maybe to a degree you guys might be underplaying Denver a bit. And Denver to me has always been that team. Them and the Lake Clippers have always been the two teams that I've been the most scared to play in the playoffs, because I knew that the Lakers might have issues with their chemistry and injuries and blah, blah, blah. So I think it's going to be a fun series. I think it's going to be the funnest second round series to watch by far. Maybe the Nets and the Bucks, just because
that's
incredible teams. Yeah.
I think you're right, though. They're big. They've got size. Plus, you can't discount the fact that you're going to have to play at mile high elevation.
True.
Which takes a toll too on teams. Which depth will be important from that. You're not going to be able to play guys 40 plus minutes and not expect them to get winded. You know.
Yeah.
That's why it's nice to have home court advantage, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, so you look at the Nuggets overall, they are eighth in points per game. They are eighth in opposing points per game, seventh overall in offensive rating, 12th in overall defensive rating, and sixth in net rating in the NBA. Obviously, they are led by Nikola Jokic, who, get ready, Suns fans, because you're going to hate this guy. This guy, I mean, I've watched plenty of this series.
I actually love Jokic.
I don't hate him at all.
I don't hate him at all.
But you're going to hate the way that he's an off-arm guy.
He is
a guy who pushes off with his off arm.
He's
the whole
phony
time.
Baloney.
Yes. He's a phony baloney. He's gonna generate a lot of free throw attempts for him. Matthew and I know from experience. I feel like every time the Denver Nuggets have come to town in the past like 5 years, we've been at the game. Thankfully, again, we don't have to play against Jamal Murray because he is a Suns killer. It was the high screen roll with him and Nikola Jokic in the last 3 minutes of a game is fucking deadly, and the Suns don't have to deal with that. But you still have to. Go ahead.
Are they playing Monday or Tuesday?
I don't know. When is the first
Monday
game?
7 p.m. is what I
Monday.
Saw.
Monday. So Chris Paul is going to get 3 full days of rest.
Before he has to play Campazzo.
Thank goodness. So that's going to be valuable. And that's probably the one person we're not talking about enough. Chris Paul, there is no matchup for Chris Paul with the Nuggets. There isn't. So if Chris Paul comes out and plays like Chris Paul, that could be the difference maker right there.
Yeah, we kind of just forgot about him, right? That was kind of weird.
It's kind of easy to forget about him considering he was kind of largely gone in this entire series.
Yeah.
You know, he gave us spot minutes, but man, when you just see what he provides when he's actually on and when his arm is feeling decent enough just to throw up something, he's just such a difference maker. Just so awesome.
Yeah, two things. Amazing. That makes when you think about the injury and how little in totality in these six games he was able to give the Suns, it makes this win that much more impressive. I also think it teaches the Suns a valuable lesson, though. They saw how important Chris Paul is to them overall, and with the reports today that he's gonna opt out of that $44 million, I think you learned the lesson that you back up the Brinks truck and you give him whatever he's looking for in those 3 years, because he's such a big part of what you do moving forward. So I think there was a benefit to the injury, and you got the benefit of it didn't cost you the series, so everything's good.
Okay. I disagree, but okay.
Well, you're a moron. So.
You know what's funny is moron is a word that I haven't heard a lot of lately. And for the past week, I've heard a lot of people use it. I love that moron is making a comeback because it really is a good, like, idiot is too far sometimes. And there's other words you can use, like dumbass and dipshit. Moron is like it's a really good one.
I just don't want to pay. I just don't want to play CP3 $66
What if he's a player coach
in the last 2 years of his contract when he's 36, 37?
You know, 5 years, 100 mil player coach.
With the, you know what, guys? This is off-season talk, okay? These are going to be great podcasts.
I don't know why Espo brought that bad juju up.
In the I don't first know,
man. It was a story today. I understand why he did.
I told him to.
Yeah, Matthew's already talking about next season.
Yeah, I mean, these two are in cahoots together.
Focusing on next season.
These guys are in cahoots.
Let's get the championship.
I can't wait till we all get together again in a fist fight each other like last time.
Can't wait.
That's going to be really fun. Like it's going to be like Anchorman. Like, como estas, bitches? Cahoots, I tell you.
Trident.
That escalated quickly. Monday night is when we play our first game against those Denver Nuggets. It's interesting because you look at the way that the path to the playoffs and to an eventual Phoenix Suns championship has developed. And when we heard that it was the Lakers, frustration probably set in. I know I had frustration that it was the Lakers, but you know what? We didn't do anything that we shouldn't have done. That is to say, we didn't try to tank games. Yeah. We didn't try to set up a matchup in the first round like the Lakers did, and now they're kind of paying that wrath, and I'm really excited to see that game six. The Clippers. The Clippers did because they have to play a game six against the
in Dallas
against the Nuggets and against the Mavericks. Dave, like, I love you, Dave. You're like finishing my sandwiches.
The Mavericks are Dallas. Okay. The Clippers are LA.
You know what I don't like about Dallas is the fact that Dallas backwards is salad with two L's. Don't like that.
Salad. But
Jesus. Going back to the Suns have done everything the right way this season.
Yes.
They really have. They've done it the right way. Holistically as a franchise, holistically as a team on the court, and the way that they've approached every game. You know, how many times. When the season began, we're like, oh, CP3, he's going to have to play 75% of the season if we're going to need him in the playoffs. And that's not the mentality of this team. This team has the potential to really do something special. Getting through the Lakers is something that, like, it opens up, in my opinion. I'm not afraid of Denver. Maybe I should be. But I'm not nearly as afraid of Denver as I was the Los Angeles Lakers. Okay,
Darth the other teams on the other side. Live.
What's that?
Yeah, I'm having put a your together.
MT. No, I'm having a. I was drinking during the game. I'm not gonna lie. So if there's
it's hot in his house too, and he's drinking.
Yeah, very dehydrated. My AC went out like literally in the first quarter. Fucking AC went out. Yes.
Now your AC has to go out in every closeout game.
No. Yes. Tomorrow is my wife's birthday.
He's just sweating.
Instead of taking her to a nice dinner, I'd be like, honey, we have to buy a new AC. Happy birthday.
Yeah. So he's just
need to borrow
turn
money,
it off
John.
At the beginning of every closeout game from now on.
Okay.
Okay.
It'll be great in the finals when it's July here in Phoenix.
Yeah.
You know what I'm doing? I'm going to go watch the game with Dave, and I'm going to turn his AC off in that closeout game.
No, that's not what happened. That's not the rule.
You should show up and just turn off his electricity and then walk in, see what happens. All right, never mind.
Awkward for me and him.
Cut the lines.
But tell me, you guys, you know, as we have slayed the Lakers dragon, as Laker Nation is looking at themselves and probably asking themselves, is LeBron really one of ours? Because he's never really won anything in front of us. He did in a bubble in Orlando last year, but he's never really won anything in front of us. As the Suns have slayed that dragon, do you feel like the path to a championship has opened up?
Well, I say LeBron. Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say, I think you give Lakers fans too much credit. They're looking for their Clippers jerseys in their closet right now, trying to figure out who they're rooting for the rest of the way. They're not thinking about LeBron right now.
No, all of a sudden they're all Nets fans right now.
Two thirds of them in Phoenix just put on their Devin Booker jerseys. Like, yeah, I was saying Suns and six the whole time. So you don't have to worry about that. But look, let's not jinx anything. There's no magical path You still have to play the Denver Nuggets, who were in the Western Conference Finals last year, and you're going to have to face either the Clippers, the Jazz, who the Clippers who are have two superstars, the Jazz, who are the number one seed, or you're gonna have to deal with Luka if you one of those three in the Western Conference Finals. So this is no easy path. This isn't the Eastern Conference where things magically opened up. And you're likely going to have the Nets or Bucks waiting for whoever makes it out of the West. Like, there's no easy path. This is hard work.
I feel like everybody's overestimating the impact of LeBron and AD and underestimating the impact that Rajon Rondo and a couple other guys had last year on that championship team. Like, they provided stability, and this team didn't have stability whatsoever. And so when I look at the Lakers this year, I was like, sure, they're going to be good. If LeBron and AD were healthy, they would have been very good. However, I don't think their path back to the NBA Finals would have just been a breeze either. I think they're going six or seven games in every series because they have a tough task. That didn't happen. But you still have some quality teams out there that are just like us. They're chomping at the bit. Utah's been chomping at the bit to get to the finals for three straight years, and they keep coming up short. The Denver Nuggets, same thing. Like, we have a lot of thirst out there for this title, and we can't just assume that now that we defeated this limp-ass Lakers team that all of a sudden we have the easiest path to the finals ever, because that ain't the
truth. We don't, but I do feel good about it.
Hey, you play the MVP, the likely MVP in the next round. Don't forget that. Without
his number two player.
I don't know. MPJ's doing a great job filling in that role.
He is. And what's really nice, though, is having Devin Booker on this team, because usually the teams I root for in a game like this where it's so meaningful, the best player on my teams always comes out and just lays a fucking egg. Booker came out right away. You know what I mean? Like, tonight, like, I've never seen this before in a team that I've, like, that I know Steve Nash, but just coming out here like, I'm going to win this fucking game. And the defense that he played, even against LeBron, the whole team, I've never seen this before in a team. So, yes, I'm very comfortable with them, and I favor them to go to the championship, but it is going to be very, very difficult. And of course it is, but I've never seen a team like this of mine ever play this way. It's miraculous.
Everything you want is on the other side of hard. I mean, we've heard it, we've said it, and champions adjust. And I saw that in this series. The confidence I have in this team is, tripled after winning this game tonight. It truly has, because they've shown that they can adjust. They've adjusted to the numerous different looks. I mean, this was a team that clearly outsized the Phoenix Suns. The Lakers, I mean, we shouldn't have had any business inside the lane, and we still dominated them. We truly did. 4-2. And the two games that we lost, one of the games, if we had hit a couple shots in the second quarter, we probably would have won game two as well. So I'm not cocky. I'm confident in this team right now. That's where I'm sitting right now. I've watched this team all year. I've never seen a Phoenix Suns team like this. That's a fact. They play defense.
I think that's interesting that you say that. I don't know how everybody else feels about that, but I kind of feel the same way I do before the series even started. Basically because we didn't get the full Lakers experience, right? And that's what I don't know why. Like, right now I'm more like they took care of business, and they should have taken care of business right now. In games 1, 2, 3, and 4, it was a little bit different because they had their guys and it was competitive, right? But this time, we took care of business. We kicked the shit out of them. We should have kicked the shit out of them. And now I'm happy. I'm ready to see how they perform against the Denver Nuggets. I think they can perform against the Denver Nuggets. I expect them to win the series, but I think it's going to be a remarkably different series than it was these last six games.
I am glad.
Go ahead, Esma.
I was just going to say, I'm glad I'm not Saul's kids or his wife. Hey, you just graduated, but you were supposed to do that. Now get your ass into college.
That's what my dad said to me when I graduated basic training.
Good job graduating high school. Now get your ass to college.
You graduated college. Now get your ass a job. Welcome to the real world. It sucks. That's the life under Saul Bookman there, everybody.
I feel the same, but I feel more confident in how I feel. Like, after a playoff round where they proved it, that they did what I thought they would do, Now I feel more confident that they're going to keep doing it, because there is always that worry when they got into the playoffs that they would forget how to play basketball. There was always that worry when they got punched in the mouth by the Lakers that they would fall down. A little bit of me was worried about some of that. And now I don't have to worry about that. I thought that was really, really nice to see that the Suns played exactly like we thought they were going to in that first round. Now I feel like they can do that every round.
R in the chat says the face of Saul is the face of a man not used to happiness.
How do you think I feel, dude?
Every time
he doesn't speak. Break the face there either. I love it.
I love it. I love it. All right. Parting thoughts, gentlemen. Parting thoughts.
I just had mine earlier.
Game one. Yeah.
I'm happy for Devin Booker and DA. To be able to shield off a lot of these critics, especially the ones that saw what were watching Devin Booker from afar, especially in all the losing seasons that were going on here. I'm happy for him. I'm happy the way he performed these last two games and really just stomped the crap out of the Lakers and put them out of their misery, especially LeBron. And DA, you know, the whole banter about DA, is which DA is going to show up on what night and all this stuff. He showed up this series and he did what his team needed to every single night, even tonight. His team didn't need much from him, and that's about what he gave. He, you know, he got the rebounds, and that was about it. That's all he needed to do. He didn't need to be a superstar on offense. He held it down on the defensive side like he has been this entire season, and I'm happy for those two, and I'm just so happy that we can stop talking about playoff experience because, that shit didn't matter.
Yeah. Hey, let's get back to business. I mean, I don't disagree with Saul on that mindset. You got four more games to win in this next series. Go do it. Go handle your business. Go out there and play your game, because what the Suns proved all year and proved against the Lakers is when they play their brand of basketball, they're as good as anybody in the NBA, if not better. So go out there, play Suns basketball, get another series win. Let's just keep this rolling, because this is a Suns town, and we remembered it over the last 2 weeks.
And they're all going to say, too, that they can't do it until they actually do it. This whole playoff series, all these rounds into the championship, they're all going to say the Suns can't do it until they actually do it. So that's the best part of it.
Dave, any last words?
My last words are let's get to that Nuggets game. Now I need a weekend just to decompress. I hope the Suns can decompress a little bit and get fired back up, because right now I feel like, God, can't we have like a week off, please? But really, Monday.
Yes. Amen.
Monday's going to come quick, but it's a good thing it is Monday and not Sunday. You know, that gives Chris Paul a little bit more chance to recover from that shoulder. I don't know if you guys noticed, but DA got another stinger tonight.
Yeah.
He was holding his arm.
That was a cheap shot by LeBron.
There was a lot of cheap shots.
Yeah, that was really bad.
A lot of cheap shots this series.
Yeah,
we should all go.
The Lakers went through a whole period where they were just flopping on every single play trying to get calls.
And screaming.
Luckily, the refs weren't falling for it. So, yeah, no, I'm looking forward to Monday. Let's decompress a little bit and then get back and talk about winning game one again.
So what Dave is saying is there will not be a Sun solar panel on Saturday morning. I promise you that.
I'll do it by myself if you guys don't want to do it. We got Nuggets basketball to dissect.
You're going to look at the roster between now and then, yeah?
Yeah, you guys got to get it.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about it. I don't know if I can or not.
I'm not in right now. You guys can do it, but I'm out.
I'm not committing.
I'm out. Committing.
I might be there.
we'll see. We'll see. Well, I guess my parting words are just to all of my Laker fans who are at work. I can't wait to see you when I go back to work tomorrow, because I'm just going to say hi, because you know that I know that you know, and that's what matters. This has been a stressful series. I'm glad that it's over, and I'm excited for what lies ahead. You know, there's something special happening in Phoenix right now. When the Suns are in the playoffs and when these runs begin, we've been through it before, most of us, not Matthew. But most of us have been through it before, and it's electric. It's something that excites you, going to the games, being around the arena, watching at home, going to a bar, wherever you watch these games, whether you're in Phoenix or you're a Phoenix fan worldwide, there's something special that's going on here in Phoenix right now. Step one is defeat the Lakers. Mission accomplished. Hashtag beat LA. It's over. On to Denver, on to Monday. We'll see you live right after that game, as we do after every game. This is a reminder for everybody who is watching along live. Please subscribe on the YouTube channel and smash the like button while you're here. You can become an elite jamster or a flaming baller by clicking the join button or following the link in the description. Subscribe, rate, and review via the Bright Side of the Sun podcast network. That's where you're going to get all of your favorite Phoenix Suns content. You can leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and we'll read it here on the pod. And you can enter Suns Jam at checkout for your online orders for 15% off your purchase. That's right. Let them know the Suns Jam session guy sent you. Again, the promo code Suns Jam. I'm done reading promos. I'm going to go sit in my.
Did you do Manscaped?
Fabio in the chat says Espo is the LeBron of the solar panel, carrying the teammates on his shoulders. Yeah. Does that mean he's also quitting with 5 minutes left to go or what?
No, he hasn't spoken.
Only in the bedroom. All right. Only in the bedroom.
Man, your wife is taking L's tonight. What did she do to you in Houston? Man.
Marrying me was the biggest L she ever took. So. And she did it of her own free will. So, by the way, if we're just dropping discounts on the table,
do it.
You know, let's play who's bigger. We head over to manscaped.com, use the code FLAMINGBALLERS, save 20%, and you won't get an L in the bedroom when it comes to the misses. You guys will stay in there for those final 5 minutes. So that's code FLAMINGBALLERS, 20% off, free shipping, manscaped.com.
Fantastic. You can follow the show at Suns Jam. You can follow the show at Sun Solar Panel. You can follow me at Darth Voida. You can follow Matthew.
I want an L. Just one L.
He wants an L. Just one L.
At Matthew Lissy.
You can follow Espo.
At Espo.
You can follow Saul.
At Saul_Bookman.
And I know Matthew follows Dave.
You can follow Dave at DaveKingNBA.
All right. On that note, Matthew, got anything else to say?
No. I mean, if you guys want to join me at the spa this weekend to relax, I got one ticket. Any takers?
I'm good. Keep your towel.
Can you use it? A ticket. Who the hell needs a ticket to get to a spa?
What's
I don't know how it works. I've never been to a spa, so I don't know what to get in. I'm like, what? I got this on Ticketmaster. Does this work?
You know, Matthew, I set you up for your finishing line, and you just totally went fucking sideways on me.
Everyone go home and love your family.
And on that note, happy birthday to my beautiful wife, Shannon, and I'm so sorry our AC is out, and we'll deal with that shit tomorrow.
Do better, John.
And for the last time, you're going to hear this song from Zane Zor. Ladies and gentlemen, we did it.
Let me hear it. Let me hear it. Let me hear it. Come on, let me hear it.